Oh, well, that's it then. So, are you any good at making decisions? Wrong question. Yeah, okay. Choices, making decisions. Well, it can be very, very difficult for some of us, can't it? Have you ever found it difficult to make a decision that needed to be made? Some things may be very difficult and some others not. Like, what you're going to have for dinner tonight? Well, I know what you're having for dinner. Well, I know you're having a Sunday roast because you bought parsnips, so we're all right there. What to wear? Well, it's easy. I mean, if any of you know Betty, you can go to her house and she's got about 5 garments, which is lovely because she knows what she's going to wear. Well, I look in my cupboard and I'm thinking, why have I got all this stuff? And I do try to get rid of some of it. And then a friend gives me some more. And then the other thing is, how do you approach someone with a difficult problem? Life is full of decisions that have to be made. And the more serious the decision, the more difficult the choice can be. What do we need to do to make good choices? Well, I think we need the facts, we need information, like, you know, I think it was pretty obvious which was the real lemon and which wasn't. And then we need wisdom to make the decision. We need to know what the options are beforehand, don't we? And the wisdom to weigh the two up. And then we make a decision to go with one or the other. And of course, sometimes we find that we make the wrong decision and regret it later. In our scripture reading today, Paul is laying out the consequences of two options. He starts with an encouragement and a warning. Firstly, he encourages us to keep good examples before our eyes and then cautions us about bad examples. Good examples, bad examples. Find the facts, make your choices. And Christianity is not something that you can sit down with a book alone in a room and figure it out all by yourselves. It's something that needs to be demonstrated. Paul tells us that we should look at his example and follow it and watch for those who do the same. We need good examples. Paul tells Christians that we are to set our minds on things that are above and not things on the earth. He tells that we should not set our minds on earthly things, because those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. He's trying to warn us that if we set our mind on earthly things, we are walking the path of death. A mind set on worldly things is a mind that thinks about and meditates on what the world does. But how do we set our minds on spiritual things? Well, I guess firstly, we need to meditate on God's word and not what the world is doing. We need to adopt God's view of the world. Read your Bible and pray at every opportunity. Paul explains to the Roman church that when we turn away from God, our minds become darkened and we do shameful things with our bodies, especially when it comes to sexuality. Shame is a tricky thing. Human beings were made to know God, which means we were meant to have a mindset that was centered on Him. When we fail to do that, what happens? What we love becomes twisted. And what should leave human beings ashamed can actually become something we are proud of. Everyone worships, and what you worship, you are controlled by. What do the enemies of the cross worship? They worship their appetites. What their body wants, they give it. Why? because their cravings are their God. Basically, you have appetites, you have cravings, and you should indulge them. That's the worldview. If you want something, you should have it. You want status, do whatever it takes. You want to be a lazy sloth that lies on the couch all day? Indulge away. When your appetite is your God, you live to satisfy your cravings. So you glory in your shame with a mindset on earthly things. If you want something, you should have it. But for Christians, of course, our God is our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knows what is best for us. His law is for our good. Indulging our cravings will leave us constantly looking for another high, another bed, another pursuit to distract you with ever-diminishing returns. Jesus isn't like that. He will not dangle a carrot on a stick with a promise of salvation someday. He can take you in now and redeem you wholly, save you entirely. So what's this about? Paul makes it clear that those who reject the gospel of Christ face destruction. Enemies of the cross of Christ do not want God, and so for all eternity, that is precisely what they get. But it will not bring life. How could it? In God is the light of life. The only thing found away from his presence is destruction. And now we all have a choice. We have the information before us. Now we simply need to evaluate it and then have the courage to decide, make a decision. Paul's words serve as an invitation. To those who do not yet know Christ, God invites you. You do not need to remain without Jesus. You can come and receive his welcome and embrace now. Paul speaks these words of exhortation. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. The choice is yours. Amen.